Well, it's a special privilege to be here once again at the Kirk. You've become very special to me. I always share how that when my family moved from Tarpon Bay Lutheran, this is where they worshiped for many years. So it's always like a coming home ceremony for me. Our subject today is On the Journey, Surprised by Joy. On the Journey, Surprised by Joy. Life is a journey. We come and we go. All life involves change. All change involves loss. And all loss involves grief. And so often grief involves pain. So on our journey we encounter so many storms. And so really we can look at our journey as some of us are coming out of the storm, some are going into the storm, and some are right in the midst of the storm. But whoever we are and wherever we are, one reality is true, that life is a journey. It's a journey sometimes of shattered dreams. Dreams are so powerful, particularly when they're attached to our heart. Because when dreams shatter, the heart shatters. Do you realize that most people die of a broken heart? Or they call it a stroke or a heart attack. But if you get the story, you'd realize that there was a broken heart. There was a storm somewhere in their life, and that storm blew them apart. And of course, what happens in the heart or the mind also works itself into the body. There's storms of broken promises. They promised this and they promised that. And those promises exploded. There's storms of natural disasters, hurricanes, they can really do you in. There's storms of intimacy dysfunction. We had such a wonderful relationship. We had such hope for the future. It looked like tomorrow was just a cinch. But then all of a sudden things change. And how does love turn to fear? And fear turn to hatred? Then there's the journey also involves illness. We're up today, but tomorrow it could be a different story. And of course, we all get older. We move on. A powerful reality. Life is a journey. Longfellow said, "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not as they seem." The challenge is, how do I live this journey? And to understand this concept, we go back to a story in Luke. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem. These were the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had great dreams. They thought our Lord would come and deliver Israel from Roman domination. They enjoyed the feeding of the 5,000. They enjoyed the miracles. It looked so beautiful and so wonderful. There was an illusion of permanence. And all of a sudden, the Christ was crucified. All hope was dashed. Their hearts were twisted by grief. You know that feeling. Perhaps you're there this morning. May God give you grace. Somehow, everything they longed for, they wished for, had blown away. And the best thing they could do was now to get out of Jerusalem, the place of home, the place of joy, the place of worship, the place of knowing God, the place of the church. They decided the best thing is to get lost. Let's go to Emmaus. Let's get away from this place. We've all done that too, right? Some of us have left the church because of a storm. Some have left a marriage because of a storm. Some of us sit in countries because of a storm. When things hurt deeply, we want to get away. And you know, one reality is that human beings can still be in the same place but leave. It's possible to be there in body, but your spirit is far away. It's possible to be in your home this morning, but you're not there. As one guy said to me, "Dr. Allen, you may see me in church or see me in work, but I've left long ago." Human beings can leave, long before they actually leave in body. So they got out of Jerusalem because it was too painful. It's hard to stay where the dreams are shattered. It's hard to stay where hopes are dashed. It's hard to stay where things didn't work out. Let's go to Emmaus, that little place 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, and get away from it all. And to add insult to injury, some women went to the tomb that morning and found the tomb was empty. And now, since Christ was no longer there, they knew the Romans would now blame it on them. So guess what? As they got Christ, they're going to get what? Us. They were afraid. And it's amazing how fear makes us run. Fear takes our heart and twists it. Do you realize in our world today, more people are motivated by their fear than their love? Yet God comes to us and says, I love you. I love you with a love which will never let you go, and a face which never turns away. But you worship fear so powerfully in our culture that many of us run. We run into our locked homes and our locked communities, our locked wealth. We run because we're disappointed. And so the fear of what had happened, the lost dreams of what had happened, made them run toward Emmaus. And as they walked, the Bible says they were discouraged. They talked about how good it used to be. Remember the old days? It's always a lie. The old days were real trouble too, you know. But we love that nostalgia. The old days, when things were perfect and wonderful and, oh, well, God bless you. It's called euphoric recall. The brain dumps down all the pain of the past and gives you the euphoria of the present. And so you connect it back and say, wow, those great old days. You talk to somebody else who says, you got to be kidding. It wasn't that great. But yet human beings live that way. Euphoric recall. And so yes, they perhaps had some euphoric recall of what it was going. And so as they were going, they were discussing how, you know, it would have been great to be out of the domination of Rome. Israel would be free. We had planned this. We'd have a kingdom on earth. Everything was wonderful. And bang, everything blew apart. Oh gosh, how could this happen to us? And they walked in fear. They walked in misery. Their hearts were twisted by grief. And not only that, it was getting dark. The Bible says the day was far spent. You know, the morning has so much promise. Sunrise, so beautiful. But as sunset comes in and dust starts to fall, we can almost feel the end. And so they were walking in the dust, heading from Emmaus, and it seemed that that day was a long, long day from the morning of the so-called resurrection possibility and the disappearance of Christ in the tomb. And so toward day, nothing had really happened. It got worse and worse and worse. And so the best thing was, let's get out before it gets worse. Let's get out to a little place called Emmaus. And they were walking on their journey. Maybe that's you this morning. You had a deep faith once ago, but things blew apart. That child got sick. That accident happened. That marriage blew apart. That business exploded. That church just didn't work out. That business didn't work out. And you decided, look, I'm going to get away from Jerusalem. I'm going to run away. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to go to a little place where no one knows me, and I'll be away from it all. Human beings, they say, feet don't fail me now. When things get tough and the going get rough, human beings will go. And they either go in body form or they can go in their mind. In the Czech Republic, where I was a professor once at the old Charles University, during the time of communism, the intellectuals would say they would take a trip into their heart. They called it inward immigration. Things are so tough in the communist situation, they would say, let's go on inward immigration. Try that in the Bahamas. Just go into yourself and just stay there and enjoy inside your heart. Imagine everything is beautiful inside, but outside everything is breaking loose. And so on this journey, we too experience these ups and downs. Principle number two. It's always touching. It brings tears to my eyes. That you know when a heart is really hurt, when you're really broken, because there's a God who loves you, He always comes. The saddest thing about life is many of us don't know or not aware when He comes. And here they were walking along their road to Emmaus, discouraged, twisted in grief. And the Bible says, Jesus came to walk with them. Do you realize he always comes to walk with you? He always comes to walk with me. He always comes to walk with us. But the tragedy of life is this. We can never get out of the presence of God's love, but we can lose the awareness of his presence. Because they were so twisted in grief, so upset by their lost dreams and broken hearts, they lost the awareness of the holy presence, of the Shekinah glory of God, and Jesus walked with them. Even though you're not aware of it, brother and sister, our Lord walks with you. He walked with you this week. He's with you right now. He'll be walking with you today and the week coming. The challenge is, how do we grow our lives spiritually so that we develop the awareness of the presence of God? As T.S. Eliot said, I walked down the street. We were two, but I looked around and there were three. Who was the other? He was the other. God is the holy other. He always comes. I had to learn this in a hard way. You know, I do psychotherapy and I've been in the field for about 40 years in many different countries. And as I moved into a deeper spiritual understanding of my work and challenge, I had a dream that I was in a room with a client, there were two of us. But this other person came and sat right beside me. I said, sir, will you please leave? This is the dream. This is a private, confidential session. Please leave. I woke up. I went back to sleep. The person came back again. I said, sir, leave. This is a private session. You can't come in here. They're paying me for secrecy. He won't leave. I woke up again. I went back the same night. And the same guy was sitting there. I said, don't you get it, man? Get out. I woke up. And guess what? I heard the Lord say, David, I'm trying to tell you something. You are never in a room with a patient by yourself. I'm always there. It's so hard to learn the awareness of God's presence. Because we're so trained, we scream him out. We run him away. What are you doing here? You look like my wife. Ooh, she upset me this morning. You look like my husband. He's real. You look like my children. You look like my enemy. But he always comes. But human beings have the penchant of not being aware of the presence of the Holy God. May God give you grace this morning to realize your time of visitation. Jesus loves me, this I know. Karl Barth, the end of his life, was asked, what is this theology? He said, very simple. Jesus loves me, this I know. Which means, love means knowing. Love means always being there. It means that Christ will never leave you. But the sad thing is, in our life, we work so hard, just like me, to run Christ away. And he was trying to tell me, David, you're not the healer. Who do you think you can heal? It's all about me. It's so hard to learn that lesson. And so Christ appeared with them on the journey. And he said, what's going on? Our Lord always comes to the mundane. He comes where you are. He doesn't come like a big, you know, angel and big flapping wings like Superman. He comes right there to walk with you. He said, what's going on? Well, guess what? They told him. They said, things are tough. We had a great hope. Haven't you heard? Where have you been? Are you some stranger? Man, things were going so well for us. We were going to take over the Roman Empire. We saw miracles. We saw 5,000 people fed. Everything was wonderful. And bam, they killed him. It's amazing how the Lord listens. Jesus listens. He listened. He let them talk. He always comes. And you know something? What I love about these disciples, they didn't try to put on. Sometimes in the Bahamas, we don't like to tell it like it is. You know, things are bad. I'm fine, man. I'm blessed. Praise God. It couldn't be better. In fact, I have to apologize if it got better. Man, it's terrible. The money's gone. The wife is gone. Even Bozo the dog is gone. But we're saying how beautiful it is. Stop it. Just be who you are. If you're broke, you're broke. Say you're broke. If you're not feeling well, say you're not feeling well. Let God meet you where you are, because where you are is where you are. Don't try and be someplace where you're not. And so these disciples really said, look, things are tough. Where we are, our dreams are shattered, our hopes are dashed. Always deal with God in the truth of where you are. Can you come to God this morning just as you are? With your broken dreams and your dashed hopes and your twisted grief. Because that's where you are. And if that's where you are, that's where he meets you. God can't play false. He says in Psalm 51, he desires truth on the inward parts. So to be aware of God, we have to make the journey to our heart to know ourselves. You know the song, I've been to Nassau, I've been to Paris, I've been to New York, but I've never been to me. To know God, you have to make that journey to your heart. And so they were telling him how bad things were. They were telling him everything looked hopeless. Sounds like Bahamas. They were telling him the bad things had happened. They were telling him that things looked discouraging. They were telling him all things were just messed up. And all we had was fear. And we're getting out. But Jesus walked with them. Principle number three. They turned off to go the road to Emmaus. And Jesus played like he was going further on. And they said, don't leave us. We're enjoying the conversation. We've got a little psychotherapy for free there. We're sharing what's going on. Come with us. It's late anyway. You see, our Lord has to be invited. Can I say it again? He does not force himself on you. You have to say, Lord Jesus, come. Come and be with us. And so they said, come and be with us. Little do they know that that journey now is going to become what? Surprise by joy. The Bible says some ensuring hospitality has entertained angels unaware. Reach out. Invite somebody into your home. I know we don't do that in Nassau anymore. So people complain about the settee, you know, the house is not painted. Some Bahamians have cellophane over the settee. That's only for the deaf and when you're sick. Some babies live and die and haven't sit in the settee yet. Sit in the settee and use the china because somebody else can get it. Stop it. And so they said, come to our place. It's late. And when Jesus gets an invitation, he always takes it. And he went. And little did they know, that was the greatest decision they'll ever make in their life. And sometime, brother and sister, the person you invite to your house could be Christ. I wish I could tell him he's going to look like you want him to look. But I'm not God. They tried that, they're going to get killed. So I'm not God. You should be happy. And you're not God. I'm happy too. We're not God. He is. But they said, come to our home. And Christ came to their simple home. And all they had was bread, not much food. Because when you're hurt and grieving, you don't want to eat much. So guess what? They took out the bread. But as our Lord broke the bread, the Holy Communion, as it were, their eyes were opened and they realized they were in the presence of the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. Jesus Christ, who was crucified, Jesus Christ, who died, Jesus Christ now had risen again and had given them the revelation of his presence. But it's amazing how when we get so excited about God's presence, he doesn't want us to feel we can own him that much. You have to give him away. So the Bible says, as he revealed himself and they realized they were in the presence of the Lord, their hearts were blessed. They were so happy. But as they were trying to hold on to him, he moved away. He went back to Jerusalem. And they said to themselves, hey, let's follow. Something's going on. That's Jesus. Maybe those ladies are... It's amazing how men take a long time to believe women. Man, listen to the ladies. They can see around corners, you know. Women, children, and schizophrenics. They really can see things we can't see. So listen to your wife, guys. Particularly in business deals. They have intuition. And so they said, looks like the ladies were right. He's risen. If they'd only listened. Mary said, yeah, he's not here. He's risen. But us men take a long time to learn. We just don't pick up cues. And so Christ goes back to Jerusalem and they say, well, let's go back. I love that. Let's go back to the place of one's pain. Let's go back to the hopes for that. Let's go back. You know why? Jesus is alive. He's been with us. And the Bible says they went back And there they met the other disciples with Christ sitting in the midst. And their hearts were full of joy, surprised by joy on the journey. Our Lord is traveling with you this morning. Will you stop and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and experience being surprised by joy. I don't know if you know, but I meet lots of people, and that happens in America, that happens here. And one day I was doing rounds of the public ward of the hospital. There was this lovely, gorgeous, beautiful woman there, and she looked Bahamian. I stopped and said, good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
I said, oh, gee. I said, good morning.
Good morning.
I said, madam, hi. How are you? I'm terrible. I'm from Holland. I came here to try and kill myself, and I can't even kill myself. I had two sons who were killed in a motorcycle accident in Holland. My husband was killed in the war, and I thought I'd come to a beautiful island to drown myself. And I tried doing that, and it didn't work. And I ended up here in the public ward. Wow, I got a mouthful, and she gave it to me. Her name was Joanna. So I said, Joanna, you know when you stop and you wish you hadn't? She gave it to me. And so I said, Joanna, you know, in my house on Sundays, we have an open house, 7 o'clock, down by the beach, Cable Beach. And when you get out of hospital, drop by a second. It's the IRS, we give out invitations, but we hope nobody follows them, you know. So we invite them anyway. But sure enough, 3 weeks later, it was a Sunday evening, I was sitting down for the meditation, and the doorbell rings. I said to my wife, go, please. I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that quite ladies, but Vicky's good at doing that. And so she went to the door. She said, I'm Joanna, I come for the cup of tea. There's a lady that she speaks in a strange accent, says she come for a cup of tea. Then, oh my gosh, that's the lady I met in the hospital. And there she was. She said, I come for the cup of tea. I said, well, come. And of course, the waves were beating in the wall and the beautiful sea. She sat there. And I said, Joanna, Sunday nights we read the scriptures. And I read about how Jesus loves us. God so loved the world. And I said, Joanna, what do you think of that? Oh, that's nonsense. That's a fairy tale. That's for rich Americans. No, that doesn't apply to me. I've suffered too much. Wow. But she came every Sunday night. In fact, that was October. She came every Sunday night until Christmas. And we have our Christmas meal Christmas Eve, because my wife's American, and that's what they did in California. So Christmas meal is Christmas Eve. And I said, Joanna, we want to invite you for Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve. And I'd like you to sit right next to me. She came that night. She looked splendid. She's dressed in a white taffeta dress, and she sat right next to me. And of course, I started to read the Christmas story, but I got scared because I knew what Joanna was going to say. That is just a joke and a fairy tale. And sure enough, I read the Christmas story and I said, Joanna, what do you think? David, that's just a fairy tale. It's a bunch of nonsense. Oh, gosh. So the kids were listening. I said, well, Christmas is going out of the window. I said, well, I tried to recoup, but she was very honest. She went for the Christmas dinner. She came back to the house the following Sunday. She was sinking now. She had cancer. And there was a banker and his wife at the house. I've never met them. I don't know where they are. They were at the house. And all of a sudden, I saw them talking to Joanna. And they said, David, we're going to take her to live with us. I said, what? Yeah, she's going to live. We have an extra room. She can live with us. Then Linda Aberry, who was a nurse in Minnesota, who came to the open house, said, okay, I'll be your nurse. I never saw her again. Never saw Joanna again. When I was going down Bay Street months after, this banker saw me and said, hey, David, you were traveling. I was trying to get you. Joanna died. But before she died, she said, I want you to give David Allen a message. Tell him, Jesus is not a fairy tale. He's very real. You see, she came to the house with a cup of tea. She came to the meal, but as they took her into their home and broke bread with her, they set up a room with new curtains. Linda came to visit, and all of a sudden, the fairy tale Jesus became the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And she went into eternity saying, I know Jesus. Tell David it's not a fairy tale. Jesus is very real. Jesus loves me. This I know. Jesus loves you just where you are, as you know. Glory to his name.